One of the voices of the Toronto Blue Jays right here on Sportsnet 590 Fan Blue Jays broadcaster Ben Wagner. Ben, how you doing today?
Doing well. Excited about the potential of baseball coming north of the border. That really has me excited.
Yes. Fingers are certainly crossed, and I guess that's where we should start, Ben. I mean, last we heard, we're still awaiting official confirmation from the Canadian government that this can indeed or will indeed happen. But I guess the prospect is the Blue Jays all coming north, 58-man roster for a training camp before the regular season begins, and then 30 regular season games being played in Toronto. How do you feel about that plan, that proposal, and how it kind of best fits or suits the Blue Jays specifically, Ben?
Well, right now, I feel sorry for Mark Shapiro and Ross Adkins, honestly, because they are trying to mobilize on two fronts. One, having a truck down the street here in Dunedin, Florida. And for those listeners that don't know, my home base now is where the Blue Jays have spring training. So in the offseason, I come down to Dunedin, Florida. This has been the spot where I've been planted since spring training 1.0, or spring training as we knew it, before summer training arrives. Since the middle of March, I have not moved. So I have been in the ups and downs and now the wildfire that is COVID across a lot of the southeastern states, and Florida being a major talking point there. And that's where the Blue Jays are trying to get rid of a lot of the concern that you have in this state and the community contact points that are around this state absolutely running rampant, trying to remove their players and coaches and personnel out of that. That's one front. The other thing, if the Canadian government doesn't approve the plan the Major League Baseball and the Blue Jays have presented, and we should get some clarification either today or within the next day or two, then they have to shift gears and Dunedin becomes the home base, and they will try to intensify that bubble as much as they can. Now, that's just trying to get to day one of what is Major League Baseball and their camps opening up, scheduled between July 1st and July 3rd for most of the major league teams that are having report dates out there. And then you got to go through 3 weeks and hope that players, coaches, support staff all behave themselves and isolate as much as possible so you can even get this thing off the ground. And oh, by the way, then you get to a regular season that should be in 60 games and about 66 to 70 dates. That's a lot to ask. So this is just scratching the surface of what it will take to even accomplish a season. Personally, I'm stunned we're at this point. I thought maybe the Biodome would work early in the talks, but as we saw this virus just absolutely cripple economies, states or provinces or pockets of a province, you know, it looks like sports is trying to drive the bus here and get people some normalcy in their day and some form of entertainment. As we know, many regions in Ontario is doing a great job. I understand that. But, you know, a lot of where these games are set to unfold, they're absolutely spinning their wheels right now trying to get a hold of this thing.
Hey, Jonesy, let me just jump in for 1 second here before you follow up. I didn't know if you saw this, Paul, and I'm mentioning it to Ben as well, but Doug Ford just mentioned minutes ago in a press conference, and this is a direct quote, "I've been in conversation with Mark Shapiro all weekend. He's just waiting for the letter of support from the federal government. There's a few tweaks here at the province that the doctors want to work out with him." So that's, again, the latest within the last, like, less than 5 minutes from Doug Ford.
Well, and Eric, to that point, Ben, In your answer with Eric and your last statement, you used a word in there that behave, and I see a sect of the population exercising, you know, constitutional freedom, saying, you know what, I have the right to go out. I'm going to go out. I have the right to go out without wearing a mask. I'm going to do that. And I mean, it's become a huge discussion. Eric and I have touched on it here. You know, to me, is a mask at this point going to be like seatbelts in the 60s and 70s, where people are like, you don't need one. And people say, well, yeah, you should wear one just in case. And then eventually now it's become what it is now. You have to wear a seatbelt. What behaviors do you see that people have to change? Because maybe it's not just the mask, but there are other things that have to be kind of tweaked before baseball, sports, and eventually society can go forward.
Well, I think it starts on the large scale, and that is society. We have to do better for our individuals. We have to do better for the greater good here, and we have to understand the importance of social distancing. You know, yesterday afternoon, as a prime example, I took two steps out of my door. I looked down at the pool area, and on a normal Saturday or Sunday afternoon, you would expect a pool area to be absolutely jam-packed on a hot summer day. Sure. In this situation, what I saw was really concerning. Where I live, like feet from my door, and it was an overcrowded pool, people horsing around, jumping and splashing around. And this is a community which has a lot of good-natured people in it and very friendly people in it. But this is the point where our friendliness has to stop the length of a hockey stick away. This is where we have to have a better awareness of the people that are around and what we're doing for those people. And I think that's where it starts. Players, coaches, people and personnel are used to, and behind the scenes personnel are used to taking instruction and following rules. Now, sometimes those rules are loosened a little bit, you know, when they're not in the corridor of a ballpark or an arena. And you are allowed to have some of those freedoms. But in this case, to get it done, those freedoms are going to have to be removed. And you have to, unfortunately, sacrifice, I think, for the greater good here. And wearing a mask is part of that. And I am a proponent of wearing a mask. I think it should be worn in proximity where you're not able to self-distance. I try to do that as socially responsible as I'm able to. And I think I know the Blue Jays are hammering that point home. And it started from the moment that Mark Shapiro and Charlie Montoyo stood in front of the room of players in the middle of March when spring training was shut down. I think the gravity of the situation really sank into a lot of the players. And some of those players even voiced their concern, understanding that they're going home to a place where they have people that are susceptible to this virus and at risk, whether it's an elderly parent or grandparent that they're closely connected to, or even one of their children that might have defects. Look no further than where the manager sits and Charlie Montoyo and what his family has had to deal with, and their son Alex over the years with his heart condition.
Speaking with Ben Wagner, Jay's broadcaster right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm just going to go reference again another comment, and maybe it's just kind of a further expansion of the quote I read moments ago, but Ontario Premier Doug Ford and Shai Davidi tweeted this one out, saying, quote, that the Blue Jays Major League Baseball plan, just pending federal government approval, quote, on the quarantine side of things. He continues to say, quote, I know all the municipal, provincial, and federal health folks kind of gave their approval, but then again added Ontario looking for a few tweaks. Ben, we could talk baseball specifically, and I'm sure you'd probably prefer to do that and talk about the names on the 58 men that have been invited to come to camp when things ultimately do resume. But just on a personal level, I know Jonesy has family down in Florida, but being there, and you just kind of gave us a brief glimpse, what has it been like, aside from just earlier this morning, the folks in the pool, on a daily basis, when you're trying to just go about your daily life, whether you're going to a store, whether you're going for a walk, what is it like in Florida? Because we are not exempt from criticism here in Ontario or in Canada, but it certainly sounds like, and the numbers just are fact alone, it is far worse in Florida, far worse in major pockets in the U.S. than what it is right here.
It's been uncomfortable for me, and it's uncomfortable really over the course of all of it, which is really unfortunate. When you started to see the rules laxed and the phases rolled out, it was clear that Florida was going to be aggressive in trying to get economy and tourism and a lot of the drivers that make this state function. They were going to be very aggressive and try to get that off the ground. And it is now its demise, where it has gone from a gradual uptick to an absolute forest fire. When you look at where, from last week alone, the numbers have skyrocketed. And, you know, I'm knocking on the door of 40 years of age here. And a lot of the new cases and the concerning case numbers are in that demographic. When you look at the 20s, the 30s, and the 40-year-olds, after initially it was thought to be an elderly population that would have been the highest target here, it's almost like those people have kind of disappeared into the background and sheltered, which they should have, and now they clearly need to do because of what's happening outside the cocoon that I'm in. It's very unnerving. And I'm taking every precaution that I can personally to go through my day-to-day life with the opportunity for me to have my job come back into my lap and sit in the studio, or hopefully if Rogers Center is allowed to host games this year, you know, we can have some Blue Jays baseball unfolding in front of us at the same time. So my senses are extremely heightened in this, and I'm trying to isolate myself as much as possible, one, so I can return to the job, but also I just don't want to put anybody at risk whatsoever.
Ben, when you've talked to people about the actual execution of the game itself, how do you see that happening in a way that, as you have just put it there, doesn't put anybody else at risk, doesn't put players at risk around first base, or, you know, who's handling the ball? And I know they've talked about, you know, on a strikeout, you don't throw the ball around the infield. There's little things like that where you see are subtle changes that are made to try and help keep the participants, the players, free. Because I'm sure if you're uncomfortable, there's guys that are playing the game that are uncomfortable too.
This is going to be a total adjustment from what everybody that is on that diamond has done or conducted themselves since they probably put on the ball cap for the first time in Pee Wee's or Little League or T-ball, where you're in the batter's box, you try to adjust yourself, get comfortable, and all of a sudden a bead of sweat is dripping down into your eye. What do? You may reach up for your face and try to flick it away. Well, now you're flicking a bead of sweat or perspiration or spit, whatever that's hanging on your lip. You're flicking that away. What if it lands on the umpire or the catcher? Like, the entire game, and I've seen the 102-page document. It is very boring to read. It outlines so many things that are in some ways you didn't even think of, and in a lot of ways you're thinking, my gosh, how are they going to pull this off? You know, not only in spring training, but over the course of 60 games, and are players really going to be able to conduct the game this way? There are some of those nuances that are just mind-boggling, and it'll be very interesting to see if some of these things can come to fruition and players can get by it, you know. But you're going to have contact. You're going to have a guy diving back to first base on a pickoff play, and all of a sudden, you know, the throw's a little wild, and the first baseman's going to land on top of the base runner. Those things are just going to happen. So it'll be very interesting within the confines of the game to see how it is structured, how it's enforced, or if there are reminders given. I think it's definitely going to take some time to get used to from a player perspective.